Welcome to episode 553 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 3 in our series, 30 Days to a Happy New You. Haggai 1 verses 7 to 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. During his first year as king of Persia in 538 BC, Cyrus issued an edict allowing the Jews to return from exile in Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple. The altar was repaired, and the foundation of the temple probably began sometime in 537 BC. Then Samaritan opposition brought construction to a halt 1 year later. Ezra 4 verse 24 notes, then the work on the house of God that is in Jerusalem stopped, and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The temple project languished for 16 years, until 520 BC. So originally, the Jews stopped rebuilding the temple due to opposition from the neighboring Samaritans, but other reasons crept in. At the time of Haggai's prophecies, some Jews simply said that the timing was not right. Yet the time was right for them to build their own homes. In fact, Haggai rebukes the people for their concern for their own houses while neglecting God's house. As we discussed yesterday, God, through the prophet Haggai, challenges the people of Israel concerning their priorities. After telling the people to consider their ways, God calls the people to work. Sometimes, God's cause needs work. Work that is supported by prayer. What work might God be calling you to do in pursuit of a happy new you? It is also time for God's people to start being concerned with pleasing Him instead of themselves. In their nice houses and prosperous lives, they took pleasure and were glorified. Now it is the Lord's turn. God is also telling them to do it with the right kind of heart, a heart that wants to please and glorify God. You can experience a happy new you if you want to please and glorify God. From Haggai's text, you look for much, and behold, it came to little. When God was neglected, nothing worked right. They were able to accomplish some things like building their own houses, but it didn't bring the satisfaction that it should have. Back to the text. I have called for a drought on the land. We can imagine the people of God were depressed and discouraged because of the drought. They probably thought it was all an attack of Satan and prayed fervently against what they said was Satan's plot. But it wasn't Satan's doing at all, but it was the Lord who called for a drought on the land. The problem wasn't Satan, but their priorities. Again to the text, on the grain, the new wine, the oil. Because they neglected the Lord, He neglected to bless their three basic crops. We must place God's will above our own. In the case of the Jewish people, their self-focus involved neglecting God's temple, and therefore worship in the temple, while focusing on their own homes. There is nothing wrong with living in a nice house, but there is something wrong with neglecting God's priorities to pursue our own. First things first, and honoring God is more important than houses or any other material thing. The key to a happy new you is putting God first. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls us to seek first the kingdom of God, but the verse does not end there. It says in its entirety, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The verse's meaning is as direct as it sounds. We are to seek the things of God as a priority over the things of the world. Primarily, it means we are to seek the salvation that is inherent in the kingdom of God because it is of greater value than all the world's riches. Does this mean that we should neglect the reasonable and daily duties that help sustain our lives? Certainly not. But for the Christian, there should be a difference in attitude toward them. If we are taking care of God's business as a priority, seeking His salvation, living in obedience to Him, and sharing the good news of the kingdom with others, then He will take care of our business as He promised, and if that's the arrangement, why would there be a need to worry? This admonition to seek first God's kingdom comes after Jesus addresses our tendency to worry about our lives, about what we will eat or drink, what we will wear, where we will live, etc. Put God first. Glorify Him. Scripture makes our responsibility to glorify God evident from cover to cover. 1 Chronicles 16 verses 17 to 36 presents a model for giving glory to God. As Asaph is installed as the chief minister before the Ark of God, David instructs him in the method of worship. Verse 8, give praise to the Lord. Verse 8, proclaim the greatness of God's name. Verses 8 to 9 and verse 24, tell the whole world what God has done. Verses 9 and 23, sing to the Lord. Verse 10, glory or exult in His name. Verse 10, rejoice in Him. Verse 11, seek out the Lord and trust in His power. Verse 12, remember all the Lord's mighty deeds. Verses 28 to 29, ascribe glory and strength to Him because it is His due. To ascribe is to think of as belonging, as a quality or characteristic. Thus we regard the Lord as possessing glory and strength. Verse 29, bring an offering to God. In Asaph's time, the offerings were in accordance with the law of Moses. Today we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is our true and proper worship. And we also return to God tithes and offerings. Verse 29, worship the Lord. Verse 34, give thanks to God for His goodness and love. Verse 35, cry out to God for deliverance. This model for giving glory can be applied in our own lives. To glorify God is to extol His attributes, praise His works, trust His name, and obey His word. He is holy, faithful, merciful, gracious, loving, majestic, sovereign, powerful, and omniscient. And that's just for starters. His works are wonderful, wise, marvelous, and fearfully complex. According to Psalm 19, verses 7 to 10, His word is perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, firm, precious. His salvation is astonishing, timely, and near. No matter how loudly or widely we proclaim the glory of God, He is worthy of more. In the refrain of her 1875 hymn, To God Be the Glory, the prolific songwriter Fanny Crosby exhorts us to do what is right by extolling the Lord for all His work. O come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. But giving God the glory is more than what we say or what we sing. It is reflected in our priorities. A key to a happy new you is making sure that giving glory to God comes before seeking glory and comfort for ourselves. Father, give us the right kinds of hearts, hearts that want to please You and glorify You. Reset our priorities so that we seek You first in all things. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.